Luke chapter number 15, we're going to start there in verses 1 to 10. And a great story this morning, great parable, three parables that are actually in one with one meaning. But we're going to look at one in particular this morning. So if you'll read with me this morning or find your place and follow along, Luke 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Or either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligent till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And what I'm going to preach on this morning is that lost coin, the lost coin. Let's go, Lord, with prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Father, God, I thank you for the parable this morning of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And God, how they teach us about your love and your grace and how they speak to us, because in truth, all of us were one of these. We were the lost sheep. We were the lost coin or silver. We were the lost son. We were one of those. And God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would speak to our hearts this morning. And God, that we could see the importance and the need of reaching a lost and dying world. Those that are far away and those that are in our own house. And Bob, I pray you take the word this morning and that you'd empower me to preach. If there's one today that's lost in the house of God, that today could be the day of salvation, Father. Lord, if there's one this morning, Lord, that's taken their mind off the Lord, off of souls dying and going to hell, may our spirit be stirred once again, and may the Holy Ghost encourage our hearts, Lord, in bringing people unto you. And God, may rejoice in those that are saved. And God, we will give you the praise and the thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I'm going to teach on this parable, I have a few little props here. And so I'm going to get my props out. I got my broom this morning. And you say, what do you do with that? Sometimes I ride on it. Okay. You say, what do you say? I said, sometimes, boy, I'll tell you, sometimes I can be mean as all get out. And you say, usually we tease women about that. And I think they make brooms for men, too. Anyway, so you always love those jokes, right? Where'd you park your broom? You tell people that. And anyway, so we're going to preach on that, this lost coin this morning. But these parables, they teach us something very important. It's about the love of God. Amen. The love of God is a great thing. And the fact that God loves us. And you know how you know God loves us? Because He comes looking for us. Amen. God is looking for us. We're not looking for Him. I wasn't looking for God when He found me. God was looking for me. Thank God that He was. And you know, many times, God's looking for us and we're in the corner hiding. Isn't that the truth? But God comes to us where we are. Amen. Isn't that such an important thing? You say, how do you bring people to Christ in foreign countries? You go to where they are. That's what missions is all about. You go to where they are. You take the gospel to where they are. What do we do here in East Ridge? We knock on some doors and take the gospel to where they are. What does Brother Piles do with the fair ministry? He takes the gospel to where they are. I love when he said them hillbillies need the Lord. Yeah, hey, thank God I was a hillbilly. I need the Lord. Amen. We need the Lord. And you know, and so thank God this parable teaches us about God's love. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." God loves us, and thank God that He does. Romans 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commend His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the love of God. He loved us in spite of who we are and what we are and where we are. He loved us. And thank God the story teaches us that this morning. Not only about the love of God, but how about the nature of God? You say, what's God's nature? It's God's nature to be merciful. God is merciful. God has compassion. God sees us and He has mercy. You know, you and I sometimes, we don't have much mercy, do we? We don't. We look at people and say, you God-forsaken, you pitiful piece of dirt. You know, we think that sometimes, do we not? And you say, you're getting what you deserve. And we can be, boy, we can get high-minded with that. And I'm a preacher, man. I know what righteous self-indignation is, right? Self-right. I know what that is. And I can look at people in their sin and say, boy, God, give them a little, bring down a little bit more fire on them. And boy, God says, aren't you glad I didn't do that to you? And boy, I just crumble to the ground and say, God, I deserve to go to hell. I do. I deserve to go to hell. I say, God, thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, for your mercy when you looked down on me when I was going to hell and I was such a reprobate and so against God and the people of God and how I hated Christians and made fun of the church and made fun of preachers and God made me one of them. Amen. God has a sense of humor. He made me. I mean, I laugh. I don't get mad when people make fun of the preacher because I used to do it. I don't get mad when people slam the door and run out the back door and all that kind of stuff. I used to do the same thing. I don't get mad. You know, see, hey, listen, you can't get mad for people doing the same thing you did. Right? What do we call that? Hypocrisy. You say, hey, I understand why they do it. They don't know the Lord. And what do we got to have? We got to have some mercy. Thank God we serve a merciful God this morning. God is a merciful God. And the Bible says that He's merciful. If you'll, the book of Psalms, the Bible says this, 145:9, the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. And His tender mercies are over all His works and full of mercy. Thank God. Is God good to everyone? God's good to everyone. If you woke up this morning, God's good to you. That's the goodness and the mercy of God. You think about that. How about the goodness of God? The goodness of God. Romans 2:4 says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It's God's goodness that brings us unto Him. That's the goodness of God. You think about it this morning. And what I want to consider this morning are four simple little things. You say, why do you tell me that? So you'll know when I'm going to stop. Put your mind at ease, right? Four simple little things. Nothing hard. And you're looking at them. You're looking at them. I got some coins. Got 10 coins here. Here they are. Got 10 coins. I got me a candle. I got me a broom. You say, what's the fourth thing? It's you. You're the fourth thing. We're the fourth thing. The Lord can be the fourth thing. But four simple things. And we're going to make a mission application this morning. The first one is, I want to look at here, is this coin. I want to look at the coin and what the Bible says here in our text. In verse 8 it says, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Some, got my silver coins here. And these silver coins represent something. In Jewish custom, they would go on a bride to be's headpiece, and she would wear this headpiece, and it would symbolize that she was engaged to be married. It was very important. These coins were, and they were a token of the engagement, and they were a great value, and kind of like our engagement ring today. Don't all you lazy when you get? Isn't it fun to come in when you get engaged? You got a ring on your finger, and it says, "Hey, I'm spoken for," right? And that's why that ring is a ring on this finger is an important thing, because it says, hey, that, you know, you're a bride to be, and praise the Lord for it. And to lose one of these things would be a great disgrace and embarrassment. Can you imagine losing your engagement ring, ladies? That's not a good thing, to lose your engagement ring. And so you can understand the urgency here when it comes to this piece of silver that she lost here in verse number 8. She lost her piece of silver, which represents her engagement to the groom. And this coin here, first thing I want to say about it, what I want to notice about this coin is that what happened was she lost it. She lost it. Think I could do that again? She lost it. She lost it. All right. And the Bible says here, and this coin is a picture of something. Okay. You say, what's that lost coin a picture of? It's a picture of a sinner. In our text here, there's three things that are lost. The sheep is lost. And the coin is lost, and the prodigal son is lost, okay? Now, and it speaks of three kinds of sinners. The first one is the sheep, which we read about here. And we know that the sheep is lost, and, you know, there's some people that are lost, and they know it, but they don't know what to do about it. You know, I've met people that don't know. You say, hey, are you going to heaven when you die? And he says, no. He says, well, you ever thought about being saved? Man, I don't even know how to be saved. You know, a sheep, when a sheep gets lost in the wilderness, it can't find its way home. You know what a sheep will do when it gets lost? It'll get so far lost, it'll just lay down there and bleat and wait for the wolf to come eat it because it's lost. It can't find its way. It doesn't know how to get back home. And boy, there's a lot of people in the world like that. There are billions in the world. They're lost. They're going to hell. They know they're going to hell, but they don't know how to do anything about it. I think of people in these countries that have never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why missions is so important, because they're that lost sheep out there in the wilderness somewhere, and they have no hope of ever being saved unless someone goes and finds them where they're at. They know they're lost. They know they're going to hell, but they don't know what to do about it. They have no idea what to do about it. That's why missions is so important. And then you have this coin we spoke of here. And this coin that got lost in the house, and we'll just throw it on the floor here because I'm going to use that in a minute. But that coin, I want you to notice, that coin doesn't know that it's lost, does it? It's just a coin, right? It's an inanimate object. You know, there's some folks that are lost, and they don't even know they're lost. They think they're fine. They think they're going to heaven. They think everything's okay. They're lost. They don't know they're lost. And you think about that for a minute. There it is. It's lost. And it doesn't even know that it's lost. And then you have the prodigal son. And this speaks of those. The prodigal son is lost, but he wants to be lost, right? He's going to hell. He don't care. He's glad of it. I meet sinners sometimes. They say, yeah, I'm going to hell. They're proud of it. Yeah, I'm going to burn with the best of them. And they couldn't care less. There's three kinds of sinners out there, and you meet them when you go out, and these parables speak of that. And again, I don't think you can get away from that. Isaiah 53:6, but all we like sheep have gone astray. We understand that. Romans 3:23, for all sin to come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. David said in Psalms 51:5, behold, I was shaped in iniquity and sin, did my mother conceive me. We understand that there's all kinds of sinners out there, is there not? But I want you to know something else. The coin was lost, but notice, someone was looking for it. Someone was looking for it. This coin's lost, but someone's looking for this coin. Thank God. When Jesus Christ came to earth, what did He say in Luke 5:32? He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And this is illustrated in this parable, but it's illustrated in some of the activities of Christ. Look in chapter 19 of Luke. You're right there. Flip over a few pages. And in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, you have the story of Zacchaeus. Look what it says. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little stature. And he ran before him and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Let me tell you something. It was no accident that he came to where Zacchaeus was. I'll tell you what, if Zacchaeus had climbed up in a building, then Jesus Christ would have went to the building. If he'd have been in a pit somewhere, Christ would have went to the pit. Wherever it was that Zacchaeus was, if he'd have been on a rock, Jesus Christ would have passed by a rock. Amen. And when he passed by, it says, the place, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I must abide at your house today. See, God was looking for him. Thank God. God was looking for Zacchaeus. And thank God for the story here. Notice what it goes on to say as he said this in verse number 6. It says that he made haste and came down and received him how? Joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be the guest with a man that a sinner. Oh, that's a terrible crime. Look what it says. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. He got in. How do you know he got in? Because his life changed immediately. He repented of his sin. He said, everything I stole, I'm giving it back. And the other half, I'm going to give to the poor. You think about that for a minute. Boy, he got excited. God forgiven him. Christ came looking for him, and thank God that he did. Remember when Adam sinned? What did Adam do? Adam's hiding in the bushes. And what did God say? Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? God's looking for him. Maybe God's looking for you this morning. I want you to notice where this coin was lost. Where the coin was lost. The coin was lost in the house. The coin's lost in the house. You know, a lot of people are in the house of God and they're lost all across this nation. All across the nation, they're in the house of God and they're lost. You say, why? Because they were raised in church, but they never got saved. We said, I said last week, they made 50 professions and they're still not saved. Let me tell you something. You can pray all the little prayers you want to pray, but until it's from the heart, there ain't no change. When you get Christ inside your heart, there'll be a change. And something will take place there. Hey, people play their little games all the time. And you can play all the little games you want to play, but that ain't going to get your name written down in heaven. Amen. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, when you from the heart receive Him as your Savior, and it produces a change in your life. Thank God, and sad, but the coin's lost in the house. I think of all the so-called Christians, so-called, I say so-called, we use that term very loosely, so-called Christians in Chattanooga. And you wonder if they ever really got saved. Has there ever been really been a change in their life? Have they ever truly been born again? You see, how's that? Coins get lost in the house. Look how many preacher kids are dying and going to hell. Preacher's kids. Preacher's kids and preacher's grandkids and preacher's great-grandkids. Why is that? Because they're lost in the house. And you say, well, my grandfather's a preacher. Isn't that a shame? That's a terrible shame. He probably prayed for you and preached to you, did everything he could to see you saved, and you're still going to die and go to hell because you're lost in the house. Sad. Sad. So sad. It happens over and over again. You say, why is that? I don't know why that is, but see, can things get lost in the house? It's lost. It's in the house. It ain't far away. It's in the house. I think this is the Bible Belt. Look at all the sinners right here in the Bible Belt. They're going to die and go to hell within the sound of the gospel and the shadow of the church. I mean, you don't got to go very far to find them. They're all around us. I mean, we're talking about foreign missions now and going hundreds and thousands of miles away to bring people to Christ, and they're going to hell at our doorstep. That's why home missions is important. That's why what Brother Dave and Sister Patty do is important. That's why what some of these other ministries do, the jail ministries and the homeless rescue missions and so on and so forth, and the people are doing things. Hey, because we got to reach these people at our doorstep, at our house. You know, what do they say? Charity begins at home. You reach them at your house. But notice where the parables begin. The coin's lost in the house. Where's the sheep lost? The sheep's out there in the field. And, you know, Christ was just as concerned about that one in the house as He was in that one in the field. Hey, it's great to get those at our doorstep, but we got to go a little farther than our doorstep, right? I mean, the gospel's got to go a little farther than that. That's why we have a missions conference once a year, so we can go and obey the command of Jesus Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the thrust of the Great Commission, to go out and get. And He said, hey, I understand, start at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We're supposed to do all these things. That's what the lost sheep speaks of. Go out there. And then that one in the city. That one's, hey, that are, hey, they're not at our doorstep, but they're still within our reach. They're still within our reach. But they're lost. They're lost. They need the Lord. And God help us. That's what mission is all about. Go on and get them. That's why we call it a rescue mission. I mean, that's why these ministries, we try and reach these people. Because they're lost and they're dying and they're going to hell. Amen. And they need to be saved. That's why we need to be involved in the work of missions. I want you to notice that when it came to this coin, it was lost. And this coin was not only lost, but it was being looked for. And then, notice, it was loved. The coin was loved. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now look at verse 17. "For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I want you to notice that it's not God that does the condemning. Our sin is what does the condemning. Christ didn't come to the world to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And thank God that He did. Thank God that He came in the world to save the world. Thank God His first words at Calvary was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Thank God for that thief on the cross when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." There was a lady, she lost her diamond ring. And boy, it's... you hate to lose your diamond ring, ladies. But it happens. My wife, Miss Lisa, lost a diamond out of her ring one time. And boy, I know where it went. It went down the drain. And the chance of ever getting that back was slim to none. And we took those things apart. Guess what? It was gone. It went on down the sewer. And so, bought Miss Lisa another diamond. And then we learned something about diamonds and diamond settings. Ladies, if you got a diamond ring, guess what you need to do once a year? You need to go get it cleaned and have your post tightened so you don't lose your diamond. We learned something about diamonds. When you spend money on diamonds, you learn right away you don't want to lose them, okay? And your diamond is always moving on top of your ring. That is a fact. It is always moving. And the diamond is harder than the metal, so it will cut the metal that holds the diamond setting in place. FYI, get it checked once a year so you don't lose your diamond. But anyway, this lady lost her whole ring. And what she did was, here's the next thing, don't take your diamond ring off. Okay? Keep it on. It's meant to be worn. Well, she was doing some cleaning. She took it off, set it on the sink, and she had some garbage there, and she just threw it away in the garbage can. Now, you throw a $3,000-$4,000 diamond ring away, that you're going to be a little upset about that, right? And and she realized when she got done cleaning that her ring was missing, and she realized that she said, I must have thrown it away. But then the horrible thought came that the trash man had already come. And it was in the big old, what do you call those things? Garbage truck. Well, what she did, she called the company. And the company said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll stop the route right now. And we will take the garbage truck and we will dump it in a certain location. And you can just help yourself and look for your diamond ring. Well, boy, you know, she did. And have you ever dug in the garbage? Man, it's nasty. Sometimes I got to dig in my own garbage can. I can't imagine digging in someone else's. I mean, it's gross enough to dig in my own garbage can, right? And let alone to dig in yours. Or 500 other people, you name it. But anyway, so they took all the garbage and they dumped it in a spot. And boy, she got on her gloves and she went and she dove into the garbage. And she was in that garbage for 4 or 5 hours. But finally, she came up and said, praise God for my ring! And she was covered in it. See, she loved that ring. And when you love that ring, you'll go to any length. You'll go to any length to save that ring. Boy, if we love sinners that way, how our lives would be different, would it not? Boy, it wouldn't be hard to pass out tracts and to pray for people and to make a few little visits and to give some money to missions. Why? Because you love it. When you love someone, hey, you spare no expense for what you love. And that's true in America. You know, hey, we know what we love in America. We love toys in America, right? Hey, all the money we spend on toys. We love animals. And man, it's gone crazy in America with animals, has it not? I mean, my goodness. I mean, people actually have their animals walk down the aisle with them when they get married. You say they don't. They do. And we drove by the other day that we saw the pet motel. And then the day spa for Fido. Would you really take your dog to the spa and drop it off so it can be pampered for the day? People do. They got the doggy graveyard where you can have a doggy cremation or a doggy service or a doggy whatever. And for the mere price of, $1,200, they'll say a prayer over your doggy. Hey, I'll say a prayer over your doggy for $500. I'll give you a cut rate. You want me to pray over your doggy? Bring it by. I'll come to your house and pray over your doggy for $500. Lord bless the passing of this doggy, amen. Hand it over. I mean, come on. You think about that for a minute. But people have gone crazy. We love things and God forsake. I mean, God help us animals more than we do the soul of man. Coin was lost, it was being looked for. Coin was loved. Can I read this poem? It says, wonderful story of love and grace. Wonderful story of infinite grace. Story of one crucified in my place. Having forsaken between earth and sky. Shamed and tormented and left there to die. His kingly head bowed with the weight of my sin. Foul was I, Lord, without and within. Angels still carol the story through space. Wonderful story of infinite grace. Wonderful story of infinite love. Wanting me there in heaven above, seeing me blood washed as spotless as he, building a home for a sinner like me. Oh, how it eases the pain I must bear, only the dream of the home waiting there, its windows aglow with the light of his face. Wonderful story of love and of grace. Oh, we had the coin this morning, then we got the candle. Here's the candle. The candle is a picture of the light of the gospel. Thank God. We know that the world's in darkness and the world is a dark place. It's getting darker all the time. You say, why is that? Because the gospel isn't being put forth in these dark places. The only hope for a dark place is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what's the hope for East Ridge? I'll tell you what it is. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed loud and long and to be spread throughout. The more gospel you have, the brighter the place is, the happier the place is. You say, why is Iraq and Iran, all these places, God-forsaken places, so dark, Somalia and those places? Because there's no light of the gospel. The light of the gospel is a burning and a shining light. And it's the light of the gospel that scatters the darkness. It's the light of the gospel faces the forces of evil. It's the light of the gospel that changes things. You think about that for a minute. The light of the gospel. Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 130 says, "The inch of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" You don't have to be a rocket scientist understands that a candle gives light, right? We turn the lights out in here and we lit a candle, think how that would scatter the darkness, would it not? But what if every one of us had a candle? You see, the more candle you have, the more light you have. Isn't that a simple thing? Psalms 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice of the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Why do you think people hate the Ten Commandments so bad? Why was Judge Moore disposed in Alabama and removed as the Supreme Court judge there? It's because he stood for the Ten Commandments, and light scatters darkness. You say, what does that mean? It makes the cockroaches run. I'll tell you that right now. You start preaching and the cockroaches will scatter. Because they like darkness. Cockroaches can't stand light. And when you take the light, you put the light in every corner, and let me tell you, it has an effect upon people. And what the world needs is the Word of God. And they need someone to preach it. We look in Romans chapter number 14, we preach this, or Romans 10 and verse number 14, we preach this, these chapters all the time, but notice what it says in verse 14. This is why missions is so important, desperately important. How then shall they call on them whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, the gospel's got to be sent. And the Word of God's got to be preached. Somebody's got to preach it. You say, what are you supposed to be? Hey, at your place of work, you're supposed to be a bright and shining light. A beacon of the gospel, where you tell people and show people how to be saved. Our houses and our neighborhoods are supposed to be a beacon of light, where lost sinners can come and see the light and see salvation and know the Lord and their life be changed forever. The candle is important. So you have a coin, which speaks of the sinner. You have a candle, which speaks of the light of the gospel, the Word of God. And then there's the broom. Got this broom here. Now, you say, what is the broom? Notice what it says back in our text in Luke 15. It says that either what piece, woman having a 10 pieces, so if she lose one piece, doth light a candle and sweep the house. Here's the broom. Now, the broom is a picture of something. The broom is a picture of the church. I think we can understand that. And you say, well, and each piece of this broom represents something. Now, this part of the broom is called the handle. You say, what does that represent? That represents the pastor of the church. You say, why? What does the handle do for this broom? It gives it direction and it gives it strength. You ever tried to sweep something up that didn't have a handle on it? Everything's got to have a handle on it. You know, what if you had a Brother Ron, what if you had a socket wrench with no handle? You wouldn't get much done, would you? I mean, take a socket and try and unscrew something. It's the handle that gives you strength and gives you power. You know what this teaches us? Everyone ought to have a pastor. Everyone ought to have a pastor. All right? And does the Bible say something about the pastor, the leader of the church? I believe it does. I believe if you look over there in 1 Peter chapter number 5, it says something about a pastor. You say, what does a pastor do? He guides the church. Direction of the church. So that the church goes in the right direction. What happens when the ship has no captain? I'll tell you what, it all falls to pieces. Why is our nation falling to pieces? Because faithful leader President Obama doesn't have much leadership skills. You ever tried to play crack the whip from leading from behind? I mean, how do you lead from behind? You say, you know, we're going into battle. All right, all you guys go. If you come back alive, we'll shake hands. That's not leading. What if George Custer said, all right, men, we're going to a little bighorn. I'll see you when you get back. That's not very good leadership, is it? Right? That's not leadership at all. You know, people don't want to follow that kind of leadership. Hey, faithful leader means you lead. You lead by example. You lead by testimony. You lead by, hey, you're there. You're not just telling people what to do. You're doing it yourself. Amen. This is tax season. I love the IRS. You know how many people in the IRS, how much billions of dollars those people owe in back taxes who work for the IRS? And then they have the audacity to send you a tax bill. I think to myself, well, you know, I'm like Lois Lerner. My thing crashed, and I can't find my files. You think they'd accept that excuse? But I tell you what, you know why America's going to become so evil and becoming so evil? Because we got so much evil at the top, and boy, it's trickling down. It's trickling down, and boy, people begin to make their excuses. If that's the best we can do, then the standard gets lower and lower and lower. That's why this broom handle has to be good. Amen. It's got to be strong. It's got to stand tall. It's got to be, hey, the example for the rest of what's taking place here. And if you go look there in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter number 5, I want to look at that for a minute. And that's why churches in America are falling apart, because the preachers are falling apart and their leadership is falling apart. And it's not good enough to get up and tell people what they need to do. Bless God, you need to be doing it yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, and the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and of the partakers of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not a filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You got to set the example. Bless God, we need to set the example when it comes to praying. We need to set the example when it comes to passing out tracts. We need to set the example when it comes to our public testimony for Jesus Christ, our visitation, our soul winning. We need to set the example when it comes to our personal holiness. We need to set the example when it comes to the money we put in the plate. Bless God, if the preacher ain't doing it, and the deacons aren't doing it, and the preachers in the church aren't doing it, and the assistant pastor's not doing it, God help us, why should anyone else? Handle's pretty important. But then you have this little binder here. See this little binder here? There's a binder on there. And you say, what is that? That's a picture of the Holy Ghost. You say, what does it do? It keeps it all together. If it weren't for the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be able to stand me as pastor. Because sometimes I'm hard to take, right? And guess what? If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't be able to stand you. Sometimes you're hard to take. And what's holding this broom together is that thing in the middle. And that's why the Bible says the Holy Ghost that put us in the church. It's the Holy Ghost that empowers the church. It's the Holy Ghost that keeps it all together. Thank God for it. And then you say, what are these things here? See them blue stripes? You say, what's that doing? That's keeping the broom together here, keeping all the membership together. You say, what does that represent? That's the deacons, and that's the trustees, and that's the Sunday school teachers. You say, what are they doing? They're providing leadership, helping the pastor in the church. You need leaders in the church. We need some Sunday school teachers that live a holy life and set a good example and do those things. And thank God we do. That people that lead by example and just don't tell people what to do, but do it themselves. How important is that? Boy, that's so important. And that, I want you to notice, is the stick doing the work? The stick's enabling the work, but the stick doing the work. It's not actually doing the work. And these blue bands aren't actually doing the work, but guess what? The church together is what? Doing the work. You know why people come to church? Because you invited them. If everybody invites people to come to church, guess what? We're going to have some people in church. And I'll tell you what, people are intimidated by the pastor. When I knock on someone's door, it's like, man, the boogeyman just showed up. The boogeyman's out there. That's the preacher of the church. Now, you show up and ain't like that. Right? You know, walk softly and carry a big stick. That's how people look at the preacher. Right? He's going to beat me. He's going to beat me over the head with the Bible. He's going to tell me what a sinner I am. You know, he's going to tell me how to get right with God. He's going to tell me, you know, they're afraid of that stick. They are. But they're not afraid of the bristles. There's something about these bristles. And boy, you get all this thing working together, and it is fantastic. You can find something. But I want you to notice something. Of all these bristles, which one sticks out the most? That one does. But guess what it's doing? Nothing. It's not doing nothing. Not nothing at all. It's there. It's visible. But it ain't doing a thing. Boy, a lot of folks, boy, they're there. They want to put their 2 cents in. They want to talk about everything. They want to have power. They want to have decision-making things, but they ain't about to do nothing. A preacher was building a... I want to tell this. Don't get mad at me now. He told this at the Preacher's Fellowship, talking to the preachers. It was hilarious. They were building a building, and one of the membership got upset about how they were building the building, so on and so forth. And the guy said, Preacher, now, you're just going to take a vote on it. You're going to have to listen to what I'm telling you. He said, well, let me ask you something. He said, how much have you put in the building fund? And the guy said, well, what difference does that make? He said, well, if you gave $5, you're going to get $5 worth of advice. If you gave $5,000, you can get $5,000 worth of advice. He said, does it make a difference? It sure does. Right? He said, I don't like how you're spending the money. Be careful now. We might have to check how much you're giving. Because if you're giving 2 cents, then you'll have 2 cents worth of advice. Right? Now, I ain't mean here. That's what the preacher said. I didn't say that. That was what the preacher felt. I did shout and say amen. It was good. You know, but I like this part. Because it gets so much done all working together. What can we get done working together for Jesus Christ? You know why BVS is so good? Because most of our church is involved in it. You know why Missions Conference is good? Because our church is involved in it. You really think I could give $67,000? I couldn't do that. But you know what? All together we can. You say, can we really give that much? Well, we gave $57,000. And thanks to Brother Jack, we're already at 66,000. So we're going over that number. But collectively, you'd be surprised what we can do. Individually, hey, nobody can do that individually, but collectively we can. You put the broom together, boy, you can get a lot of work done. Get a lot of work done in the church. Bring some people to Jesus Christ. Thank God. Hey, I can go out and visit, but I'll tell you what, if y'all came out and visit with me, we get a lot more done. Hey, I can pass out some tracts, but if you pass out some tracts, we'll get a lot more done. I can pray, but if we all pray together, we'll get a lot more done. Because there is strength, bless God, in numbers. Right? You ever try to sweep the floor with just one little bristle? You might get it done, but it'll take a while. But thank God when you got the whole broom. Thank God for that. Now we're coming down to the end here. We talked about the coin and the candle. We talked about the broom. Oh, I've got to get this one first. Well, this is it. What's the most important part of this whole story? Can I tell you? It's not the coin. It's not the candle. It's not the broom. It's the one who uses the broom. Now, we know that speaks of our Savior, Jesus Christ, does it not? Aren't you glad when the coin gets lost and we light a candle and we got the broom in God's hands, sinners come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do they not? And that Bible says that she lost the coin and she lit the candle and she swept the house. You say, can you really find stuff that way? Can you really find stuff that way? I mean, those were dirt floors, were they not? And well, she's sweeping, and all of a sudden, you know, I lost something. I was out in the garage, and I lost a retaining clip or something like that. And I thought about this parable. This was a few years back. And I thought, I wonder if that really works. So I got my broom out, and I swept the garage, and guess what? I found it. I said, that really works. It really works. So she swept, and she swept, and she swept, and all of a sudden, she found the coin. And boy, she started rejoicing. She started rejoicing. Can I tell you, when God finds a lost sinner, you know what He does? he rejoices. The Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I look at our faith promise thing, 8,100 people have been saved. There's a lot of rejoicing going on in heaven because of our mission program. Thank God, some of you here in this church today, hey, we rejoiced over you because you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And we have something to rejoice about. Bringing people to Christ is an exciting thing. And that's the thrust of missions. This church was established as a mission church. Brother Bill Worley, under the instruction of Dr. Lee Robertson, this church and many others were started across Chattanooga. His vision was to fill Chattanooga with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are 400 independent Baptist churches right here in Chattanooga. And I can tell you, mission accomplished. He did a good thing. And we're still rejoicing in it. Even though the light's starting to flicker a little bit and churches are closing, thank God. Thank God that they sold the light, built some churches, and found some lost coins. I guess the million-dollar question is, are you one of them this morning? Where do you fit in the story? Are you part of the broom? Or are you this little lost coin this morning? You're in the house. You're dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. You don't know when you die, you're going to heaven. Isn't that a shame? We're talking about going all the way across the ocean to bring people to Jesus Christ. And here you are in the house, dying and going to hell. It's not because God wants you to. God's looking for you this morning. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you. What are you going to do about it? You say, I'm not that coin. I'm that prodigal. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the whole problem. I'm not that coin. You can't say you're that sheep because you know. You know. We've told you how to be saved. You can't say that. Are you going to heaven this morning? Or are you going to die and go to hell? Bow your head and close your eyes. Brother Doug's going to come this